Welcome to the King James Bible Seminary. My name is Myron Boffman, and I'll be your instructor today in the Word of the Lord. This is the Writings of Paul class. And today we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're going to start off with verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. So, if you'll be so kind as to turn there in your Holy Scriptures, we'll get started with today's lesson, which is entitled, All Things New. All Things New. And while you're turning there, I'd like to welcome each and every one of you. And we hope and pray that our time together will be profitable both to us and to the Lord's kingdom. May Jesus Christ be honored and glorified through what is said and done, both now and forever. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Quote, Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. End quote. Anytime you see a therefore, beginning of the sentence, you always have to look back to see what it's there for, right? So Paul continues on with his explanation here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 concerning being changed into a new person so that we are not engaging in some of the things that were going on in the Corinthian church. Therefore, if any man or woman, therefore, since any man is in Christ, since that person is in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. And all these old things that we used to do, used to think, used to go to, all those old things that we used to have a high regard for, they're all passed away. Passed away, they're dead. And look, everything is new now to us. So look at what old things have passed away. What has passed away? So let's take a look at what, when we become new people in Christ, what has passed away? What's gone? Or what is passing away? Well, former opinions that we used to hold, our old prejudices, and most assuredly old habits. Not all old habits, but old habits that were sinful habits, and certain attachments pass away at the new birth. Things that we've become attached to, all these things tend to, some not right away, but tend to pass or are passing away. We also, the supreme love of self passes away. Supreme love of ourselves. Before we were self-centered, even though that's much in denial for the most part, and we're not talking about self-love. We certainly are not to have self-hatred. That is negative. But we don't hold ourselves in the highest position in priority from here on out. The love of self gives way to the love of God. And along with that self-love, we also have a love of fellow believers, so that we have fellowship with them. They're all tied together. So You can't have the love of God in you and the love of your fellow Christian, your fellow man, and then hate yourself. That doesn't work. Now, it's true that's the way some people are. They're down on themselves all the time. But if you love God, you have to realize that He loves you and value that love that's in you that He has given you. So if He loves you, you should love yourself also. But the love for yourself is not the supreme love. Love God first, and the second commandment is to love your fellow man, your neighbor as yourself. So self is in there, isn't it? Love your neighbor as yourself. So Jesus has said, love yourself. But God comes first, then the neighbor, then the self. So the supreme love of self passes away. Third thing, well, let's say the first things were former prejudices and opinions passed away. The love of self is number two. It gives way to the love of God. And then the love for your neighbor, and then love of self. So that it becomes prioritized instead of putting yourself first. Third thing is the love of sin passes and continues to pass away. Excuse me. It no longer has the attraction and hold on us that it used to have. And it's true, some who call themselves Christians, who that's between them and God, I don't know, that they call themselves Christians, but they have their own pet sins that they're not willing to give up. So, that's between them and God, but they need to get right in order to be right and to be complete in Christ. You can't have hidden compartments in your heart and life, because all things are naked and open unto Him, and there are no secrets. And it dissatisfies God when we fail to deal with it. All right, so the love of sin is passing away, has passed away. When we turn to Christ, our love, like we said in the second part, our love changes, our affections do change. Along with that, the fourth thing, I believe, would be the love of the world. It no longer has its hold on us either. The love of the world, that would be things, the love of things. Okay, as has been said previously, covetousness is, in a way, I would say, the original sin, not just pride. The devil perhaps had pride, but the problem was covetous. He coveted his own throne. He wanted his own throne. He wanted to be the ruler of the world instead of mankind, but God gave the dominion of the earth to mankind and not to him. But anyways, so covetousness is the original sin. Covetousness is death. Covetousness always wants, never has, really, never has enough, and it takes whatever it wants, whatever it can get, including your life. That sin is deadly, as we saw in the Garden of Eden. All right, so the love of the world passes away. This supreme attachment of earthly friends also passes away. We have new friends. We don't hang around with, we don't make our fellowship with the lost so much as we have fellowship with those who have like beliefs, those who are in the church, those who are blood-bought Christians, we become closer to them because we have more things in common with them than we used to have. So that passes away. The love of sensuality, the love of pride, vanity, all sorts of ambition, all these things of the world, they pass away. So there are deeply radical changes in the attitudes, in thought processes, how you think, it becomes different. That old way of thinking passes away. And the values of the heart, this all passes away. All that begins with and at the new birth. And this is carried on by progressive sanctification. When we are saved, God sets us to the one side, takes us out of the world, and makes us separate for a particular purpose. We all have a purpose. So that is part of our sanctification. And this progressive, step-by-step, incremental sanctification is consummated at death and when we get to heaven. Now, going on to the next section in our lesson here, concerning all things new, is behold, all things have become new. Revelation. I believe that's 21. Yeah, Revelation 20. All things have become new. The purposes of life, the feelings of the heart, and the principles of action. What guides your action? All become new. If you don't have new purposes because of your new life, a cleaned up life, then examine your heart to see if indeed it is totally settled, rests in Christ. The understanding is consecrated, that is, our understanding, our discernment, is consecrated to new goals, dedicated to new godly goals. The body is employed in new service. And of course, the heart forms new affections. All this becomes new. There are new views of God and of Jesus Christ, new views of this world and of the world to come, new views of truth. What is truth? It's not what somebody says it is, but that's what the Bible says it is. And of duty, a new view of duty. Who do you serve? And no man can serve two masters. So what we're saying is everything is seen in a new, different, discerning viewpoint. The Bible seems to be a new book, though it may have often been read before. There becomes a new beauty about it, which was never realized. The Bible becomes exciting and interesting, and therefore is not ignored, but devoured as spiritual food, food for the soul. A new living soul that has been resurrected by the power of that word. Now, the whole face of nature outside the natural world seems to change. The world once again seems fresh and new. The hills and valleys and streams, the sun and stars, the fields and forests seem to be new. New possibilities, new opportunities, a new love. A new beauty is spread over all of nature because it now is seen to be the work of the living God. His glory is now for the first time seen as spread over it and in it. the heavens declare the glory of God. So Christ is our new rule of life. In Him we are transformed, and by whom the inner man is renewed day by day. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore, we live in the newness of life. We serve Him. We serve Him in newness of spirit. We are transformed by the renewing of our minds. Romans chapter 6, verse 4, Romans 7, verse 6, and Romans 12, verse 2. We live in a resurrected new life in the power of His resurrection. Ephesians 5, 14, and 1 Thessalonians 5, 4. And that power is the power of God. There's nothing lacking there. The idea is covered, that we're talking about here, is covered extensively by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 35 through 49. That section predicts the time when we will all receive new resurrected bodies. Other cases of when things will be renewed, for instance, are, the new heaven and new earth. We're all familiar with that. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13, and Revelation chapter 21, verse 1, which we have just referred to recently. And there's a new covenant, the New Testament. It is new, but clearly based on the old covenant. Matthew chapter 26, verse 28, Mark 14, 24. Also mentioned in the Bible is a new Jerusalem. The old Jerusalem will pass away. A new Jerusalem will be come to earth. Revelation 21, verse 2, Revelation chapter 3, verse 12. And lastly, as we have just been talking about, a converted person, somebody who becomes born again and saved, blood-bought, is a new creation, is a new creature. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24, 2 Corinthians 5, 17, Galatians 6, 15, and Ephesians 2, 15. For the most part, everything in the New Testament is the fulfillment of something in the Old Testament. So that is why we study the Old Testament. It gives us understanding of the new. The only safe way to interpret any passage in the New Testament is by locating what is intended to fulfill in the Old Testament. Now, you can't really understand the book of Revelation without going back into the Old Testament, reading Old Testament passages such as in Daniel and Isaiah and things like that. There's various places that Revelation refers to. And you don't understand the symbolism without going back, because the Apostle John was very familiar and educated in the Old Testament. So in this case, it is fairly easy to identify the prophetic passages whenever you study the Old Testament, so you can identify what are they talking about. The idea of all things renewed is not the same thing meaning the same as being completely new. In other words, it's renewed. The new heaven and earth is actually the old earth that is God reworks. The elements melt with fire. And, well, you can read that in the book of Peter. All right, let's continue on here. Quote, therefore, if any man be in Christ. That's all important to underline that. If any man, any person, any man, woman, or child be in Christ, he is a new creature. To be in Christ means you're identified with him as part of his body, the body of Christ. You're in him. When God looks at you, he sees Christ because you are in him. We become transformed into his image. Okay? If any man or any man, woman, or child be in Christ, he is a new creature. That doesn't just include the physical. There are no real pictures of Jesus, so I'm not sure exactly what he looks like. But I probably don't look like Christ physically. So therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Along that line, the Old Testament definitely states that we are not to have any images of God. I think that's Exodus 20, verses 3 and 4. No images of God. So those of you who picture Jesus, in effect, you're denying that Jesus is God, because apparently you're ignoring that commandment. Okay, so he is God in the flesh. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. It changes a person to a new person, but doesn't make a completely different person. They may look the same. However, their cleaned up life will change their appearance. The Revelation 21 scene includes imagery of old earth and heaven passing away and a new earth and heaven appearing. So, why the change from old to new? Why not just stick to the old? For change to take place, the individual has to want a change. Generally, a person cannot realistically force someone to honestly repent and believe in Christ, especially without the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. God is in the business of changing lives, and therefore, he's in the business of changing minds and hearts. As illustrated by Jonah, God can indeed change a person's mind and direction. As in the case of the Apostle Paul, God can completely humble any person by knocking them off their high horse of self-will. For those who profess to believe the Bible, yet at the same time profess that God can't do anything about or with a person's without a person's permission, he can't do anything in your heart and mind without your permission, they need to read the book of Jonah as well as the book of Acts chapter 9. Paul wasn't exactly a willing convert when he was traveling to Damascus to throw believers into prison. He wasn't a seeker, though, because he thought he already had it all. He was self-righteous. So going back to the original question of why change from the old to the new, we know, further, besides the desire for a change, there has to be a reason for this desire, a motivation for the change. Now, the reason for a desired change is that there is something wrong with the status quo. It is insufficient and lacking in some way. This insufficiency internally turns a person to seek a completion of what lacks. Every lost person realizes this situation. This realization is part of what the Puritans used to call the awakening. Only the Holy Spirit can awaken a person to their situation of need and open their eyes. This turns into a dissatisfaction of the depth of the problem that can be described as a lack of completeness. Some indications of this awareness are unhappiness, instability, internal and external conflict, frustration, anger with yourself, depression, and lack of mental and or moral control, to mention a few. This turning from the negative and lacking to being complete and whole is described as the new birth and being born again. As a baby has no idea of how to be born, nor the process involved, so the one who is born from above. It is an action brought about by God Himself that, you know, we just don't really understand. But we do recognize the result. And sadly, some people, though they may recognize the result, and they don't understand God's hand in it, they think they did it themselves. So, anyways, so what is the result of all things becoming new? A person is said to have turned from the darkness to the light, and all the old things that were so enticing are either gone or have a fading grip upon the heart. Cleanliness of life, heart, and mind are now the most desirable. Prayer becomes a desirable privilege instead of an often forgotten chore. Loving and being charitable become great joys that are highly valued. Praise and thanksgiving are now second nature. Brotherly love and fellowship among believers becomes easy. Forgiving others as we have been forgiven is a standard of behavior. Respect for others, their needs and feelings become more important than ever because they are seen to be made in the image of God. This transformation from old self, the old ways, the old life, comes about through the free gift of grace, through faith in the divine Savior, Jesus Christ. He becomes and is our completeness in life and fills what is lacking in our spirit. All things new. Let's bow with a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for sending Thy Son to die on the cross for us, that we might have newness of life in Him. We thank Thee that it is a free gift given to us that we have faith in and have our lives in. We thank Thee for Your Word that tells us all about it. We thank Thee for the Gospel. Pray now that You be with each one of our requests. We ask that You'll give us new direction each day, to follow Thee closer and closer. We ask now that You'll help us to fulfill our purposes on earth. Cause us, Lord, to be close to Thee and have nothing between us and our Savior. We ask now that You'll be with all the requests we have for the lost and the sick. You'll deal with each one through Your riches and glory, through Your grace. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem and for our nation, that You'll turn it to Thee in repentance. We pray for Thy church, that You'll increase it, increase our faith, Lord, and our service. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank You.